Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews, chapter 1. I know we've been in studying the book of Hebrews on Wednesday nights, so I'm not starting over, but anyway, we're going to... Anyway, praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit just anoint your servant to speak the truth. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us all to hear what your word has to say to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to observe the emblems of communion right at the end of the sermon today, but I want to call this sermon today, God Has Spoken. Amen. And it says here in the scripture in verse 2, it said he's spoken by his Son. And so God has spoken, and God has spoken through his Son. God has always spoken through his creation. We know that. God speaks in many ways. Praise the Lord. In Romans 1, it tells us about that God spoke through creation, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So people can say, I don't believe there's a God, but if God has given you eyes to see and ears to hear, you can look at nature and tell that there is a God. It didn't just happen. God's a creator. But God has spoken through to us today through his willingness to reach down to lost humanity and through the giving instruction and discernment to his people in the present. Amen. And there's a lot of atheism out there, but I've told, you know, that where I read that a certain medical doctor, powerful medical doctor, said I've never seen any deathbed atheist, that they all believe when it comes time to die, they know there's something more. But God has spoken, and it says here in Scripture, God has spoken in time past by the prophets. And God spoke of a time when Jesus would be revealed through his prophets. Matter of fact, many years before Jesus was ever born or knew nothing or anybody knew anything about God, Christ or Christmas, it was prophesied many years before even where Jesus would be born. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands in Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me one to rule Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting, from eternity. And so this spoke of the eternal existence of the person that would be born in Bethlehem. And of course, that would be Jesus. And so the prophets also spoke many years before of the virgin birth of Christ. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Isaiah chapter 7. And the word spoke of the sinless life of this Messiah. And this is New Testament. And it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 Peter 1:22. And God has spoke through his Son by his substitutionary work on the cross. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might be made or might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. That's the only reason you and I are saved today is because that God has made it possible through the righteousness and the perfection, the sinless life of his Son, that God can see us through the perfect perfection of his Son. That's the only way you and I can enter heaven. But thank God we can, because God made a way that we could be righteous before God in heaven. Without Christ, there's no other way. And the prophet spoke of his exaltation, the exaltation of the Son of God to the right hand of the Father. As Jesus was resurrected from the dead, as he ascended back into heaven, He said that in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 9, it tells us there, "And while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. But while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, two angels stood by in white apparel, which also said, 'You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go.'" I want to tell you something today. We're standing by here, and we're praising, and we're worshiping, and we're in the presence of this same Jesus today. Nothing has changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He rose again the third day. He's exalted to the right hand of the Father and stands as one mediator between God and man, our high priest, Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so God has spoken by the prophets. Even Jesus paralleled himself with Jonah, son of Amittai. Not much said of Jonah in the Bible, except a book was written by him. And with his resurrection, as Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Amen. And so the prophet spoke of his exaltation to the right hand of God, which he is at the Father's right hand today. And the prophet spoke of the eternal character of God, the eternal rule. Psalms 90:2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting," literally from eternity to eternity, "thou art God." And he is God. Praise the Lord. And this was Jesus, his only beginning, the only beginning Jesus ever had was in humanity. Before that, he never began. He is always eternally with God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are all eternal. They never began or never will end. Praise the Lord. And so, before the world existed and before any life of any kind existed, Jesus existed. Matter of fact, John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word," meaning Christ, "and the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made." I think that pretty well says that God and Jesus, Holy Spirit, were all involved in the creation of heaven and earth. Amen. And so, before any knowledge of Christmas and its celebration today, there was Christ, and he is eternal. And it says here in verse 3 of our text here, it says he upholds all things by the word of his power. Not only did God create all things, did Jesus involved in creation? Amen. But he upholds all creation, because if there was not something to keep the seas from flowing over the earth again, they would. God has set boundaries for them. And God has made days and seasons and weather. And he upholds all things in the natural world. But let me tell you something, friend. It's God that upholds us spiritually. Praise the Lord. We do not stand spiritually by our own strength. You do not stand and live the life you live because you're such a great believer and a great Christian. We are upheld by the grace of God. We're upheld by him. And continue on in our Christian walk by our own, not by our own power, but we are upheld by God. Amen. Yes, we're expected to do things. Yes, we make choices. And yes, we want God to be, Christ to be Lord of our lives. But we have nothing to boast of. All we have to do is, all we can do is say, "Thank God that you're my help." There's times when you wouldn't have made it through this, that, or the other, whatever trial you've been through, if God had not held you up, myself included. If God had not prevailed and intervened in my life, I couldn't have made it. But he upheld me by his grace. Praise the Lord. It says in the book of Jude, "Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory." So we know that God is able to keep us from falling and keep us from stumbling. 1 Peter 1:5 says we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God is the one that keeps us. He upholds us. Amen. You say, "Am I so weak and flimsy that I can't stand on my own?" That's right. Spiritually, you can't. You've got to have God's help. You may be able to physically stand on your own. Thank God for it. Amen. But when it comes to spiritual things, we're upheld by God's grace. We need him. Amen. If God upholds all things by the word of his power, he upholds us because we're his children. He loves us. He's not going to let go. You shouldn't either. Praise the Lord. And God spoke in times past and today of his plans for mankind's behavior. And many times in preaching and in ministry and in the church, we want to hear a lot about grace, and we want to hear a lot about help, but we don't want to hear much about behavior. But God spoke 10 commandments audibly to the people so powerful that the earth shook as God spoke. In the book of Genesis, chapter 20, second book in the Bible, God didn't leave this out. Man. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, it says, "All the people witnessed the thunderings and lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they," the people, "said to Moses, 'You speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die.'" I want to tell you something. God has spoken. And his word was so powerful that the people just said, "Moses, you just go and you come back and tell us what God said." Because they were afraid, because the voice of God was so strong that they would die. And God gave them 10 commandments audibly. And you think, well, today, if they heard all of those words audibly, the 10 commandments, how could they ever think of disobeying them when they saw the mountain shake and the earth tremble at the voice of God? How could they? But they did disobey. But how different society would be today if they followed these 10 simple commandments from God. There was not 10 suggestions, but 10 commandments. And God spoke of a time when all the world would be blessed by his Son. Genesis 12 and 3, God's promise to Abraham, "In you all nations of the world will be blessed." All nations would have an opportunity to receive Christ, to be saved, to be delivered from the penalty of sin. Praise God. And the New Testament says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay? And still today, God has spoke of his plans for mankind's behavior. We can look at with hope today in what the words that Jesus said and the words that are in the scripture. God still invites people to come to me. God did not mean or plan to judge anyone. Amen. Our sins have already judged us. And on the cross, Jesus judged in our place for our sins. It's there. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace. With his stripes we are healed. Jesus took all the punishment. There was a judgment for our sins upon himself at the cross. All the guilt, all the shame, all the things that we've dealt with. God took that upon himself to make us acceptable to his Father. Amen. And Jesus, in the last few verses of the Bible, amen, Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "and the bride say, 'Come,' let him who hears say, 'Come,' let him who thirsts come, and whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." I want to tell you something. God didn't leave anybody out. God didn't plan for certain ones to be lost and certain ones to be saved. He says, "Whosoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." And today, people from all over the globe have been saved, given hope, given deliverance from sinful bondages, because God spoke in these last days by his Son. And just as God spoke, people are set free, people are delivered. My friend, God saves people you wouldn't think of saving. Amen. Because he's much more merciful than you and I. You may consider yourself merciful. Amen. I'm sure you are, and I'm sure we are until certain things happen. Then we're not near as merciful as we thought we were. And so I won't elaborate on that any. But I'm thankful that God is merciful. He saved the Apostle Paul when he was a persecutor of the church and turned him into one of the greatest preachers ever, and so wrote some 3/5 of the New Testament. Praise God. That's what God can do. Just as God spoke, and there are people in Islam, in places we hear testimonies constantly of people coming out of darkness into light, worshiping a false God of Allah that doesn't exist, but the one true God, and being born again, birthed of God's Spirit. And God is so gracious that Jesus has appeared to many of them visibly in the Muslim culture to show that he truly is God. I thank God for what God has reached out to mankind as far as God can reach, and God can reach anywhere. Amen. And whosoever wills and still be saved. And so God spoke his plans for man's behavior. God spoke through his Son. God offered himself as the perfect, sinless sacrifice to atone for our sins. Verse 3 of our text, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down to the right hand of majesty on high. The powerful works of Jesus in his life, works that he did here, miracles that could not be denied. Blind people saw, deaf people heard, diseased people were cured, demon-possessed people were set free. And you say, well, yeah, God saved all the bad people, but what about you and I personally? You know, it's not a scripture, but amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Because without Christ, we're a wretch. And I realize that's not positive thinking, that's not all that kind of stuff, but it's the truth. And he saved me. Because what would have we become had not Jesus reached down? God reached down through his Son and saved us. I hate to think what I could have become, what you could have become if God hadn't intervened. Could have been awful. I don't know. But God knows, and God saved us. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. And also the brightness of his glory in verse 3 of our text. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The brightness of his glory. I'll tell you some, friend. There's things that the human body cannot stand and remain alive. And the full knowledge or the full blessing of the glory of God, or the presence of the glory of God. The glory of God in the Old Testament means the weightiness and the heaviness of his presence. It's so powerful that it will take a glorified body to go into his eternity and be with him forever. Amen. People on earth saw a little bit of his glory. John on the Isle of Patmos saw Jesus. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But Jesus laid his hand on him, raised him up. Moses saw a portion of God's glory. The Bible says that Moses spake with God face to face as a man speaks with his friend. That's unimaginable, but that's what the Bible says. But when it comes to his glory, God would only let him see a portion of his glory. But I want to tell you something. We serve a glorious Savior today. Heaven will be so full of glory and so powerful and so beautiful that you and I, the human mind, can't even begin to contend or to explain the glory of God. But the glory of God came in the sense that he made his Son available to the world. God spoke by his Son. Praise the Lord. And it spoke as the only means of salvation and deliverance. You say, well, Pastor, I've heard that before. I've heard it before too, but I'd like to hear it again. God has spoken as the only means of deliverance was through his Son. When God made a plan of salvation for us, he didn't say, well, let's pull this aside and let Congress discuss this. Or let's see if we can work something out here with those of you that don't believe. No. I'll tell you something. When God made a plan, there is absolutely nothing to work out. Not to recognize some other religion as an alternative way to God. We must come his way through his Son, or we don't enter at all. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Praise the Lord. So that eliminates all world religions, regardless what they may be, what they may believe, what claims they may make. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way. And God gave his Son. He spared nothing for my salvation and for yours. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'll tell you something, God made a great sacrifice when he gave everything that he could give. There was nothing greater in heaven or in earth that God could give except his only Son, begotten Son. Amen. Because you see, none of us deserve that. I know you know that. But God gave it out of his grace. There's a passage in Psalms I want to read. Psalms 49. Verse 6. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. So he's saying here, the cost or the price for my soul and yours is costly. It's something we can't produce. If you could buy salvation, there'd be people trying to buy it. Amen. But it doesn't matter what church house looks like or what wonderful temples mankind has created. The cost was God's own Son. And Jesus willingly and patiently endured the cross that you and I might be saved. Praise the Lord. God spoke through his Son. Last of all, God will speak again. All will hear when he calls his church home. Perhaps the sounding of the trumpet of the rapture of the church, many people don't believe in it anymore. Man, I do, in case you hadn't guessed. But when God was giving the Ten Commandments, let's listen to what it said here in Exodus 18 and 19. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke. That means from the glorious presence of God, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And this was right before God would give the Ten Commandments. And here's a picture of it. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. Perhaps when God speaks again, it will be like that of a trumpet that just becomes louder and louder and louder all over the earth till everybody will recognize something's happening I have no control over that I can't do, and God will call his church home. Now, that's just a parallel that I made. That's not necessarily the way it's going to be, but I'm just using that for an example. What if the blast of the trumpet were to happen and it just grew louder and louder and louder, and nobody could deny it, nobody could get away from it, nobody could ignore it, but it would be something that happened all over the earth, and God calls his church home with the sound of a trumpet. That's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, trumpets were sounded for people together for certain purposes to the nation of Israel. And I believe God has a gathering for his people in the eternal land that we have preached about, talked about, sang about, and lived for. I want to tell you something, friend. It's not a fable. It's not something we made up. It will happen one day. Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet of God. And he will call his church and call his people home. Amen. I know we're waiting for the day. We're waiting for the hour. 2020 may have been a confusing year, and it is for many people and most things. It seems the whole world is unstable, but our God is not unstable. He's not shaken. He's not scared of anything. He hadn't changed his plan for you and I. Amen. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants to walk with you, talk with you. He wants to carry you through and walk you through no matter what may happen in this world. Praise the Lord. God has spoken. He loves you. Praise the Lord. Amen.